You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and Engineer Jim back at Raider Nation Radio here in beautiful Las Vegas. Another huge thank you to them for hosting us for the night, and welcome to another edition of Upon Further Review brought to you by our pals at Coors Light. And guys, I kind of like this trend we're starting where we're talking about W's. It is a lot of fun. And for those of you who maybe went on vacation, although I don't really know where you would be going during this time, the Raiders coming off a dominating 37-12 win last week over the Denver Broncos. And guys, this was a game that the Raiders needed. I know I said that a couple weeks ago. You got to win a close game. You got to win an ugly game. But we needed to win. This team needed to win a dominating game. They needed to win a game going away. They needed to show, hey, we are the better team today, and we're going to let you know about it. And that is exactly what they did. And this defense in particular, oh, a chef kiss. A chef's kiss, I should say, to Paul Gunther and his group, because what an afternoon at beautiful Allegiant Stadium. When all was said and done, 5 turnovers forced, 4 interceptions. And speaking of those interceptions, our guest this week, who will join us in just a few minutes, Jeff Heath, had 2 of them. And honestly, he could have had 3. And we'll ask him about that in just a little bit when he stops by. But this defense needed to have this game. We have talked so much the past 9-10 weeks, whatever it is, about the shortcomings of this defense and how they had to get better. Well, they did. They put it together. And over the past, call it 3 weeks, really starting with that Cleveland game, this defense has been really, really good. And it hasn't always been flashy. I mean, obviously, Sunday was about as flashy as you can get, and it was awesome to watch. But it hasn't been overly flashy for the most part. But man, they have been really, really good. And that was the case again Sunday at Allegiant Stadium. And offensively, this team just kept right on going. And we talk about it so much. It might not be the flashiest. It might not be the sexiest. It might not be the most exciting. But man, is it efficient. And when it is rocking, it is a lot of fun to watch. On the ground, 203 yards, 41 carries. For those of you who like math, that's 5 yards a carry for this team. They are running the ball at an exceptional rate. Hitting 200 yards on the ground is not an easy thing to do. That is really, really hard to do. Only really good teams on the ground can do that. And the Raiders have done that twice in the past 3 weeks. Not twice in the past year, not twice in the past 2 years, not 2 times in the past 5 seasons. They did it twice in the past 3 weeks, and it is incredible. It is so much fun to watch. But I went a little long there. I got excited. All this winning, it just puts you in a good mood. It makes you happy. And, it is so much fun. But we got a big game coming up this week, Sunday night. And we'll talk about that in just a sec. But before we do that, you guys know what it is. We begin with transactions. So, since we last talked on November 12th, the Silver and Black placed linebacker Corey Littleton on the reserve COVID-19 list. On November 14th, they activated cornerback Damon Arnett from the reserve injured designated for return list. Also activated David Irving and offensive lineman Jared Jones-Smith. And speaking of Damon Arnett, it was good to see him get back in the mix there on Sunday. Didn't play a ton, but it was good to see him out there, see him healthy, doing his thing. And hopefully, over the final, 7, 8 weeks of the season, of the regular season, I should say, that we see a little bit more of Damon Arnett and he gets his sea legs under him a little bit. But incredible to see him back in the mix, especially after what he's gone through the first part of the season. Moving on, though. On November 16th, David Irving and offensive lineman Jared Jones-Smith, the aforementioned, reverted back to the practice squad. And on November 17th, just a day later, the team placed defensive end Cleland Furrell and safety LaMarcus Joyner on the reserve COVID-19 list. And then on the 18th, the Raiders placed Jonathan Abram, Malik Collins, Jonathan Hankins, Isaiah Johnson, Arden Key, and Kendall Vickers on the reserve COVID-19 list. And they also placed defensive end David Irving on the practice squad COVID-19 list, which brings us into our first headline of the week. The COVID situation with your Las Vegas Raiders. Now, listen, this might not be the answer to the question that you guys are looking for. The obvious question now, and it's a question that I've seen a lot on Twitter, and you guys have tweeted at everyone asking it, what does this mean for the status of the game? And I'll be honest with you, we're attacking this, we're looking at this as business as usual. And I'm not here to speculate. I'm not here to say, oh, the game is going to be moved. The game is not going to be moved. Oh, it's going to be on a different day, anything like that. That's not what I'm here to do. I don't have those answers. I'm here to speak in facts, in truth of what we know right now. And right now, we are planning on playing this game Sunday night. And that's kind of how we're doing it. And I know that it might not be the answer that a lot of you guys are looking for. And the answer is simply, I don't know. That's how we're doing it. That is how we're attacking it. That is how we're forging forward. And obviously, we've all grown accustomed to the fact that in 2020, things change at the drop of a hat. They just do. But first and foremost, outside of the game, outside of when it'll be played, outside of who's going to be lining up, per usual, I will remind all of you that the priority for this team, and really for all of us, has to be the health and safety of these players. So as much as we want to have a full squad rocking and rolling on Sunday, the priority has to be all these guys getting healthy, doing what they need to do to stay healthy and beat this disease. Because I know that it seems like we forget sometimes that we're living in the middle of a global pandemic. And I know there's a fatigue in that. I understand that. Look, I'm tired of it too. I don't love this. No one's loving this. But we have to stay diligent. We have to stay committed to beating the virus, crushing the virus, as Coach Gruden likes to say. And first and foremost, the priority, as I said, has to be these guys getting healthy and doing what they need to do. So they, as human beings, not as football players, so they, as human beings, can continue their lives in a productive, healthy way. So for the guys that do step up, they're going to have quite the test in front of them, because this Kansas City Chiefs team is no joke. We're going to bring the great KMM in just a second after the Jeff Heath interview. And we're going to talk to him about the Chiefs. And the Chiefs seem a little rattled this week. I'll be honest. Like, they seem a little on edge. But make no mistake about it. They are a really, really, really good football team. They've lost one game in a year. Now, yes, that game was the Silver and Black. And what a beautiful day it was. But the fact remains, they've lost one game. They are an excellent football team in all three phases. And the Raiders are going to have their hands full. Even though this game is at home, they are going to have their hands full. And we have seen, we saw it early this year, that this team, the Raiders, can hang with the Chiefs. And gosh, I hope we see that again on Sunday. I really, really do. I'm excited. This is one of those games that you have circled on the calendar prior to training camp even. When the schedule comes out, this is one you look at it, you go, Raiders Chiefs, Sunday night, Allegiant Stadium. Oh yeah, this is going to be good. And the fact that this game is going to live up to the hype, these are two teams, 6-3 and 8-1 respectively, two teams with postseason aspirations that are going to get to play in front of the entire NFL world. You got to love it. You absolutely have to love it. And I cannot wait. Another guy who cannot wait to get back on the gridiron, because he had an incredible, a fantastic, a stellar, insert whatever adjective you want here, Sunday against the Broncos, Jeff Heath, is our guest this week on Upon Further Review. And as I said, man, Jeff, I should preface this, the reigning AFC Defensive Player of the Week, Jeff Heath, is our guest this week on Upon Further Review. But during our time, Jeff obviously talks about the award, talks about kind of the steps the defense has taken to be better over the past couple weeks, and just what Sunday has in store for us. So without further ado, Engineer Jim, play that beautiful, beautiful audio of our interview with Jeff Heath.
And our guest this week on Upon Further Review, the AFC Defensive Player of the Week, Jeff Heath. Jeff, congratulations, man. So I'm always curious when stuff like this happens. How do you find out that you won that award?
I woke up to a text from our position coach, Coach O'Neill, and it's pretty much how I find out, just like everyone else, social media probably.
There you go. Well, it's obviously a very well-deserved award for the game you put together on Sunday. Obviously, the stats speak for himself. The interceptions we'll get to in a little bit. But I'm curious, like, when you get back to the locker room after that game and everyone's rejoicing in the majesty that was that big game, what does your phone look like? I can't imagine, like, I imagine you're blown up.
Yeah, you know, that's just about every game. And I have a great support system. A lot of people that, you know, check in on me and keep up with our team and everything. So, you know, that's really win or lose, good game, bad game. I have great support, and I'm very appreciative of that. So It was pretty much just like any other game, maybe a couple extra text messages, but I love responding to those messages, you know, just because it's all people that I really care about and they care about me. So just very thankful for all that support.
I mean, I know that we're living in obviously such incredibly bizarre times for so much of this, but do you do anything to kind of treat yourself after a game like that? Do you have like, I don't know, do you get like ice cream on the way home? Right. And I know it's so different compared to what it was like a year ago, but what do you do?
Yeah. I mean, I just go home, hang out with my daughter, hang out with my wife. My parents are in town, so I got to hang out, spend some time with them. Haven't seen them in a while. You know, I'll eat some junk food, some wings or burger, some ice cream, stuff like that. But again, that's win, lose, or draw. So every game day after the game, I try to enjoy myself a little bit.
I'm feeling like a lot of consistency out of Jeff Heath, whether it's win, lose, somewhere in the middle, a lot of consistency from you.
That's what I try, yeah.
So obviously let's talk about the interceptions, so just kind of momentum swinging, both of them. But the first one, it looked like the ball kind of sailed on Drew Lock a little bit. Like when you go back to that moment and you kind of think back to it, what did you kind of see when it was coming at you?
Yeah, those are tough sometimes because, you know, obviously the ball is not intended for me. It's intended for the other team. So when I'm going, I'm kind of judging whether or not the ball's going to be overthrown, whether or not I'm going to have to try to make a tackle. You see all the time guys think the ball's going to be overthrown and they jump up and try to catch it. So the guy makes a great catch and runs for a touchdown. So on those, really, it's you have to go in thinking that you're going to have to make the tackle first. You don't know if the ball's going to be tipped. And then when nothing happens, the ball gets on you fast. So I was just able to kind of trap the ball against my shoulder pads. And yeah, you're right. I think the ball sailed a little bit on that one. And there's great coverage. I think LJ was one underneath him, and we had another great break from the other side. There was no way he was coming down with that ball. I'm just happy I was able to.
And then on the second one, I mean, the second interception they had literally takes points off the board. Such a momentum swing for this team headed into the half. And when you kind of think about the moment of what that interception did for the team headed into the break, I mean, how big was that swing?
Yeah, I think it was big. You know, anytime you take points off the board, it's huge. And the fact that we were getting the ball in the second half, you know, obviously that drive up to that point wasn't great, and they were about to, you know, potentially take the lead going into halftime. So, you know, I don't want to say any turnovers bigger than any other one, but obviously whenever you can take points off the board, it's going to help the team a lot.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, like we said, it kind of provides a little bit more of a momentum boost, obviously knowing that, hey, these points came off, and now we have a chance to kind of go do what we want in the second half. But I wonder, and so I, you know, I'm an Allegiant like everyone else on the staff watching from above, and when Nick picked off that the fourth one, when Nick had his interception, I looked at the guy Logan next to me. I said, "He just stole Heath's third interception. He was getting like you had that shot at three. Like, do you say anything to Nick after when you guys are watching film? Like, come on, man. Like, I'm glad you ate, but like, come on, let me go. I was gonna get three."
Absolutely not. Yeah, I just said, "Great catch. That was a fantastic catch." You know, a lot of guys catch the ball one-handed, but a lot of times they'll use the second hand to make it a little easier. That was all one-handed. He had to spin all the way around, kind of did 180, jumped up. That was an unbelievable play. So, you know, and he's been balling, man. He's been making so many plays. That was just really, you know, he deserved that one. So, really happy for him.
Yeah, Jeff Heath is our guest. And Jeff, you know, I think you talked about Nick playing at such a high level, but really this whole defense for the past couple of weeks, it just seems that you guys collectively have kind of just found another gear. What has been the biggest difference, you think, from, I guess, from the Cleveland game, you know, kind of in this stretch prior to the first part of the season?
Yeah, you know, we're trying, man. It's obviously it's a process week in and week out. There's no such thing in this league. It's kind of, a lot of people think you can just build off successful games and, you know, kind of keep building and building. But, you know, in my opinion, it really starts over each week. You have to refocus. You have to start with the basics, start with the fundamentals. You have to understand the plan, because the plan is going to change. The team that you're playing is going to change every week. So I think all it really comes down to is just executing, playing better. As simple as that sounds, you know, a lot of times when teams are playing bad and defenses are playing bad, it's not – you know, obviously it has something to do with what the offense is doing, but a lot of times it's just not doing your job. Stuff that you talk about all week and practice all week, and then you get into the game and for whatever reason, you just don't execute. So, really as simple as that, just playing better. And, you know, obviously creating some turnovers is big. That's always going to help you. But in my opinion, it's just we're playing better.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to dispute that fact when you look at you guys on Sundays. But, Jeff, you talk about resetting. You know, each week is a new week, and obviously you have Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs coming into Allegiant for the first time. Obviously, the first time you guys saw them this year, a very good day for the silver and black. But I'm wondering now, so you guys go to Arrowhead, obviously take care of business and kind of what's the signature win for this team so far in 2020. But now with them now coming to Allegiant and you guys kind of being past the halfway point of the year, do you think that like a home field advantage still exists in 2020 without the fans, without the kind of pomp and circumstance? Or is it kind of like, hey, we're two really good teams setting up at a neutral site. May the best man win.
I think it's more so that obviously not having fans, home field advantage most of the time is because of fans. And travel, it's not like they have to travel too far. It's not like they're coming all the way from the East Coast. So that's not really a big going to play a factor. You know, I think, like you said, it's just – two teams that are playing well right now, and it's a big divisional game. Obviously, they're the reigning champs, so and we know obviously they're going to be tough. You know, they have a great offense, great defense, great coaching staff, so they're going to bring their A game. We're going to bring our A game, and you know, we'll see how it plays out.
And as a fan, that's all you want, right? You want to see two good teams play a bunch of good football. So, Jeff, congratulations, man, on the award. Very well deserved. Good luck this Sunday. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, man. Thank you.
And a big thank you to Jeff Heath for stopping by, man. That was really cool. And the one thing I like about Jeff, and we've talked to him a couple times, is he just seems, and I mean this with all due respect, and I mean this in the most flattering way, he just seems like a normal guy. And I really, really appreciate that. I do. He's just a normal dude who's playing an incredible brand of football right now. And that is, if you're a fan of the Silver and Black, you got to love that. So before we bring in the great KMM, before we wrap this show up and hit the old dusty trail, let's hear something from our friends at Allegiant.
Touchdown, Las Vegas.
Since starting Allegiant some 20 years ago, we've flown more than 100 million people to be with those they love. We're pilots, flight attendants, and technicians, but we're also parents, spouses, and neighbors. And just like you, we're excited to reconnect with the people and places that matter most. That's why we're going the distance for health and safety, on the ground and in the air. Because the further we go now, the safer it'll be to go farther tomorrow. Allegiant, the official airline of the Las Vegas Raiders. Low fares, nonstop flights, only at Allegiant.com.
And it's time to wrap up the show in the way that we always do. It's Victory Formation. And joining me, my partner crime, the man I can't do it without, our senior esports correspondent and our junior draft analyst, and perhaps especially tonight more than ever, our expert on all things Southern California, the great Kyle Cannon Booby Cartwright Martin. KMM, what's going on, brother?
Not much, man. I'm just chilling, ready to rock, ready for another rivalry week.
So before we get into the Chiefs week, and we are going to talk about the Chiefs, and they seem a little angsty to me, but before we do that, do you feel vindicated, KMM? I know that you're a pretty loud and proud, not Drew Lock guy, and he really didn't do anything on Sunday to kind of dispel anything that you've been preaching, factual or not.
Yeah, I mean, he was who I thought he is. Let's put it that way. I mean, he played the game that I thought he would play. Did I think he would throw four picks? No. But I'm just saying, I don't think he's all that.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's kind of hard to argue with that. At this point, like you said, man, look, I'm not a football guy. You're not a football guy. But I do know.
No, I won't claim to be. Neither of us will.
No, certainly not. But I do know that throwing four interceptions is not good.
It's just his reads. Like, he stares down his target, and Carl Nassib was right there. He threw it right to him. He didn't have to do anything. It's just those kinds of plays. And even when Max Crosby forced that fumble on him too, he was trying to throw it as he was getting sacked. It's like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of questionable decisions from old Lacamaya, and I mean, I think you can, you know, toss some or chalk some of that up to the fact that he's a young guy still trying to figure it out, and you chalk up to some of it, like you said, maybe perhaps he just isn't the guy there long term. But let me ask you this, KMM, before we shift our focus from one division rival to the next, do you think when this team heads to Denver that Drew Lock is the man under center?
If he's not, it'll be because of some reason where the coaching staff and front office are saying he's dealing with some sort of injury And so that's why he's benched. But really, they're giving another guy like Brett Rypien a try. It could be like one of those smoke and mirror kind of things. But I'm going to say he is. But next season, I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's good for – sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, Cameron.
No, you're good. I'm just saying we could see, there's a lot of quarterbacks in the upcoming draft. Do the Broncos make a move? Do they already give up on Locke? I don't know. We'll see. We don't get too far ahead. We got to take it 1 week at a time.
And listen, I know that you as our draft guy, I'm sure your big board is already coming into focus. But like you said, we got a lot to do in between now and the draft. But KMM, next up on the docket for this team, a battle with the Kansas City Chiefs. And we talked about it a little bit at the top. The good news is the Raiders have already beaten this version of the Chiefs. The bad news, the only game that the Chiefs have lost in the past calendar year is to the Raiders. So they are going to come into this game wanting to avenge the loss, want to get things back on track. They're coming off of a bye, yada, yada, yada. They're the Super Bowl champs. They got the Pat Daddy at the helm, who is still MVP Pat. Like, they're a good team. But entering this game, Kyle, entering this whole week, don't they seem, at least from the outside looking in, and obviously you and I are not in Kansas City, they seem a little edgy, don't they? Like, as a team, as an organization, they seem a little perturbed, do they not?
They seem a little insecure, if I'm being honest. They seem very rattled for a team that's the reigning Super Bowl champs, right? I don't think you're wrong to point that out. It seems like their feathers have been obviously ruffled and they're upset about it. I don't know if it's because of the report that the Raiders did a victory lap, which the Chiefs and Travis Kelce are now claiming was two victory laps on NFL Live. Like, I don't know. It seems like things are getting lost in translation and there's misinformation being thrown about, but it does seem like they're getting real upset over the Raiders beating them one time. And let's be real, what's been a dominant handful of years for the Chiefs. I think I saw something like, I don't want to point out the fact the Raiders haven't been good against the Chiefs, but it's just the fact of the matter. And 17 of the last 20 matchups, the Chiefs have won.
I mean, and let's be honest too, KMM, heading into that game, week five, right? It was week five or week six. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but heading into that game, the whole storyline surrounding it was that the Raiders can't win an Arrowhead. So you're preaching truth, being like, listen, this is one game. But dude, to me, I really don't understand it. I really don't. Like, it's a very confusing thing to me. Now, do I think the bus thing is absolutely hysterical? 100%. Yes, I do. Do I care if it was one lap? Do I care if it was two laps? Do I care if it was a quarter of a lap? No, I don't. I think it is hysterical. Gruden is playing it down. Obviously, Travis Kelce and those guys are all hot and bothered that this may or may not have happened, yada, yada, yada. But it really, like you said it perfectly, they just seem really insecure heading into a game that, I mean, this game is not the Super Bowl for the Raiders or the Chiefs. Like, let's be clear. Like, obviously, both teams want to come and finish business, you know, either head back to Kansas City or come, you know, go home with a win. But this is not the Super Bowl, right? Like, doesn't it seem like they're building it up a little bit more than they need to be?
Yeah, I have that Travis Kelce quote right in front of me. Great segue, Eddie. To some people, this game is their Super Bowl. And so they have to do a couple victory laps around the stadium, but we're not like that. Also, I'd like to add, I've seen a lot of Chiefs Kingdom tweets about how, and even from the Chiefs Twitter account, we let our game do our talking. All right, that's corny as hell for one. And two, aren't these the same dudes who played swag surfing against the New York Jets, the winless New York Jets, and were dancing on the field mocking them? What do you mean you're not about that?
Dude, listen, preaching to the choir here. So obviously everyone, I assume a lot of people who listen to this podcast have probably seen that tweet by the Chiefs. It got a lot of traction. It was on the Twitter. It was on Reddit. It was everywhere, right? The thing that I take issue with, the thing that I don't fully understand, first off, it seems like a weird time to take a shot at the silver and black, a random Tuesday, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like a funky kind of time that we let our game do the talking. But the thing is, the photo they chose was from 2017 or 2018. Now,
yeah, it wasn't up to date.
So God bless him. Like, you know how much I love Jared Cook. I think Jared Cook, friend of the program, shout out to Jared Cook. Great guy. One of our favorite guys that we've worked with in a long time, but has not been on this roster in 24 months. So the photo that they posted, one of them was Jared Cook looking dejected after, you know, someone celebrating. If you're talking to Jared Cook, Jared Cook's in New Orleans, brother. He can't hear you. He's this phone line is dead.
Yeah, it seems like an odd photo choice. And two, to your point about how they had this tweet fired off and ready to go on a Tuesday, why are they so eager? Like, they've been looking forward to this week more than we have, it seems like. And it's just this whole point that they're downplaying how much this game means to them.
But they're the only ones saying how much it means to them, you know? Like,
exactly.
It's like, you know what it kind of reminds me of? And I'm sure you and I have both had this experience, and I'm sure a lot of people out there have as well, where you and your buddies, when you're youngsters, you're either going to go on the big roller coaster or like the big, you know, slip and slide, water park, whatever, right? And there's always that big kind of mammoth ride, you know? And there's always the one homie who's like, I'm not afraid. Like, are you afraid? I'm not afraid. What are you talking about? Like, we'll totally do it. And everyone's like, nah, man, we're good. Like, we're just going to do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it too. I'm not afraid, though. Like, I'm not scared. Yeah. Like, I don't know why you guys would think I'm scared. Well, because you keep talking about it, bro. You keep mentioning how unscared you are, which makes me think that you might be a little bit afraid. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, like, come on. Like, let's chill out here. Let's relax. It's week 11, baby. We're living in a pandemic. Let's go from week to week. It's all good. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, that was a great analogy. It's such a great – whoever talks the loudest, it just shows that they're insecure. And that's I'm not going to say that I did say it, though. So, I mean, yeah, it seems like the Chiefs are a little insecure about what's going on right now but facing the Raiders.
But it's so funny, too, because, I mean, yes, the Raiders are playing an incredible brand of football. But at some point, you got to realize the Chiefs are still the big dog on the yard. You know what I mean? They're still the Super Bowl champs. They've lost one – think about this, Kyle. They've lost one game in a calendar year. One game. That's unreal. Like, they are still an incredible football team. They are, until someone knocks them off, they are the king of the castle. And it seems odd that the king of the castle has taken such umbrage with this perceived slight. And I'm a man who, you know, I feed off of those perceived slights. Like, I get it. But I don't know. We've gone on this long enough. It's just, I think both of us agree, kind of funky, right?
I'd like to add really quick in closing on this segment that, in this topic, that I wish Raider Nation could be here for this game, because if they were, they would be relentless.
Ugh. I mean, there's been so many times over the past 9 months that all of us individually, you and I together, our entire group have been like, man, wouldn't it be great if X event was happening in normal times, if this holiday was happening in normal times. But this is one of the games, this is one of those moments, KMM, where I so badly wish that Raider Nation was going to be in the house. Because this place, this stadium, this city would have been absolutely unreal. Unreal. And I hate to, you know that I do not give out compliments to the league very often. I don't do it easily. But the schedule makers deserve a ton of credit, KMM. This is the best game on the docket, and it's going to get the primetime treatment. That's what it deserves.
Well said, dude.
So we segue from that into some actual, I suppose, game talk. And let me ask you this. The Raiders will win on Sunday. It's a simple one, KMM. The Raiders will win Sunday if?
It's going to be the same thing I think I said last time. You know what? No. I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to say the Raiders will win if they can contain Travis Kelce.
Ooh.
It's so easy to go with Patrick Mahomes because he is playing like an MVP right now. I think in a lot of circles, he is the NFL MVP. He can definitely, if he keeps playing at this pace, very much end up with that award and add it to his hardware by the end of the year. But I think if you take away one of his favorite targets, if not his favorite target, it's going to, you know, you're going to be able to focus on other people. That's the problem, though, with the Chiefs, is that you can't focus on one guy because there's a multitude of other weapons that they have who they can unleash and target and let them fly and totally win the game based on that guy alone, whether it's, you know, DeMarcus Robinson or Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Le'Veon Bell, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like whoever. They have talent everywhere. But I think if you can take away one key piece, it allows you to, you know, get some confidence and build from there. But again, it's such a potent offense, such a high, you know, high flying group of guys that it seems daunting every time you line up against them.
Man, ain't that the truth? They are simply put, they're an elite offense. They're an elite team, really, in all three phases. But I mean, when you talk about the Chiefs, you have to begin talking about that offense. But KMM, I know you're on. We're running out of time with you, so I'll just go quick. The Raiders will win on Sunday if they're allowed to play their game. If I don't want the Raiders to once again, and it obviously worked out in Arrowhead Week 5, kind of getting in that shootout with them, going point for point, tutty for tutty. But I'm looking at this team to set the tone early on Sunday night, to play their game, to control the line of scrimmage, to run behind that offensive line, whoever's on that offensive line. Because, I mean, at this point, it changes every week. I think we're about 2 weeks away from you and I being kind of rotation swing tackles on this offensive line. But if the team could find a way to do that, to play their game, to control the clock, to be who they want to be, as crazy as it sounds, I like the Raiders' chances. We have seen them at their best. We've obviously seen them beat the Chiefs this year. And we have seen them dominate teams. I mean, you look at Denver a week ago, and they did it their way. So if the Raiders can get into a rhythm, they know their identity, but if they can really, you know, latch onto that and be that team, like I said, man, I like their chances. But KMM, great game, primetime game. We're fired up. It's going to be awesome. Even without fans, it's going to be incredible. But as is the case every week, there are going to be some games on Sunday that are just not great. So what is KMM's boring game of the week?
Well, short and sweet, Eddie. It's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, pass.
In Cleveland.
Pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Pass.
The 10 o'clock game on Sunday, 45 degrees in the rain, going to be sloppy. I'm out.
Yeah, enough said. I don't even think we need to bless that game with any more of our talk. I don't know if it, oh, geez Louise. It's in Cleveland, you said?
Yes, in Cleveland.
Ugh.
The over-under is 47. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a barn burner.
Yeah, certainly not. Certainly not. Well, we'll see what happens. All right, KMM, it's time to get out of here. I know we both have places to go, people to see, things to have for dinner and go to bed. So I'll ask you this. You want to crack that first ice cold Coors Light, or you want me to?
You go for it. I like the trend that we've started lately. You go first, and I follow suit. Chances are we'll have the same one, but you never know. We'll see.
I don't know if we will this week, KMM, just because of our different hashtag allegiances. But I crack this cold one in sadness, KMM. I crack it in. I'm morose.
You're gonna steal mine. I know it. You're gonna steal mine.
Oh, is it gonna? Are we gonna do it again?
I think we're gonna go back to back.
Oh, let's do it then. I'm cracking this ice cold Coors Light for Warriors legend Klay Thompson. Just before we came on the air, we're informed. Who is it? Did Shams have it, Kyle?
I believe Shams had it, yeah.
I'm a Woj guy, so it's only fitting that Shams would deliver this heartbreaking news. Klay Thompson, lower leg injury. Didn't know he was a hockey player, but it sounds bad. It sounds real bad. Doesn't sound good. And the fact that this man rehabbed an entire year, literally the night of the draft, Kyle, he injures himself. And as I said, the likelihood that we see Klay Thompson, one of the best shooters in NBA history this year, now seems slim to none. And that makes me very sad for him. But as a Warriors fan, that makes me very sad. So Klay Thompson, this ice cold Coors Light's for you.
Well said, man. And just to pivot, because we shared the same one, I'm going to crack a cold one for you and all of the Dubs fans out there, because of clearly I can hear the dejection in your voice, how sad and upset you are. And even as a diehard Lakers fan, Klay doesn't deserve this.
No, you never wish injury on a man. You know, you wish failure, certainly, perhaps a missed shot in crunch time. You certainly wish that, but never injury. And KMM, I was in the building. I was in the house when he injured the left leg And it was, man, for an NBA Finals game, never heard a more quiet arena. And we don't even know the next time we'll see him. And it hurts. It hurts real bad.
But you got Wiseman.
Yeah, how do you feel about Wiseman? Give me a quick scouting report on Wiseman before we get out of here. I don't know much about him.
He's good. He's got that Bam Adebayo physique, young, athletic, can run the floor with your quick up-tempo offense. I think he's going to be good, man.
Okay, good. I'm just glad we didn't get LaMelo. That's all I'm happy.
There's a possibility.
Yeah, I suppose. Also, KMM, as I sit here in the Raider Nation Radio studio, I'm seeing an ad for a new season of Jersey Shore Family Vacation. So on our way out, because I'm sad, can you just hit me with a Ron stop, please?
Ron stop.
That's all I needed. For Eddie Pascal, Engineer Jim, the great KMM, our guest this week, Jeff Heath, my man Ari behind the glass on the ones and twos making us sound good, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely for joining us. And oh gosh, perhaps now more than ever, please, I beg of you, wear your masks, stay home, wash your hands, do all of that good stuff so we can get back to normal life sooner than later. And Raider Nation, enjoy the morning slate of games, guys. We're rocking on primetime, baby. So you're gonna have a nice day to kind of ease in to an exciting Sunday night. So sit back, relax, enjoy those early games. Have a nice cold Coors Light for me and KMM, and we will see you guys post-game with Jason Fitz for our post-game edition of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.